But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Good morning and welcome to Playing with Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shawnell, and I'm here with co-host and producer Stu Schrager. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Tom. I'm trying to thaw out here.
It's always a little chilly in this studio.
Yes, but at outside also.
Yeah, it's not bad today though, right? It's supposed to be 50, I think. You know, we're recording on Thursday, but it's supposed to be like 50 degrees. So I'm thinking about playing golf later or something.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, so I got to tell you, I went to there's a restaurant that opened recently in Locust Valley called 225. And it's TWO and then 25, right? And it's the old Locust Valley Inn. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
It's a little north of the village. I think it's Birchill Road or whatever. Anyway, so it opened up, I guess it was about maybe 8 months ago, 9 months ago. And I got kind of mixed reviews on it, you know. But then I heard, I don't know if you were hosting a show when Peter Vandermeer came on. He was the owner of Osteria Liana, young kid. You remember him?
Yes.
Anyway, he was a victim of the pandemic at Osteria Liana. And then I heard he was bouncing around some country clubs or whatever. Anyway, he wound up at 225. And the food's really good, man. He's brought all of that Osteria Liana stuff over there with him. Nice little Italian menu. He's doing a great job. So we sat at the bar and had interesting, I'm going to talk about wine because we have some guests later going to talk about wine.
We have guests?
We do, yeah. So anyway, I'm always amazed that whenever I go into a restaurant and I say, do you have a wine list? They always give me to buy the glass list. Does it look like I can't afford to be there? I mean, what is the deal? You know what I mean? So
this is the guy that was thrown out of...
I was thrown out of Danielle. Yeah. So, no, not Danielle.
John George.
John George, yeah. Yes. For wearing Crocs. Anyway, so I get the wine by the glass list and I'm looking around and it's got, you know, glass bottle. I'm thinking, all right, well, it's not that interesting. Maybe I'll just have that. I then picked out a Rapasso, whatever it was. And so I'm looking behind the bar, and I see this big black thing. And I said, do you have a real wine list, like the real one? Oh, yeah, sure. And anyway, so they bring it out, and it's a really good Italian list. They have a lot of nice bottles on there, you know. So we had bottled wine, and then we ordered, we had this black linguine with shrimp, which, you know, I'm a sucker for. As soon as I see black linguine, I'm done, right? And then interesting little appetizer, acorn squash with like hazelnuts and some honey and stuff. It was a great place. So anyway, it's become my new go-to, you know, in the area because I'm 5 minutes away, you know. But if you get a chance, check it out. It's really good. And then last night, I was invited to this, there's a La Solitude, it's called. It's a vineyard over in the Rhone in France. And they make all those Rhone varietals, you know, Syrah, Mourvèdre, you know, Carignan, Cinsault. Anyway, so they had five or six wines. And I don't know if you've ever been to Stone Creek Inn.
No.
In Quag, you should go. My buddy Christian is the chef and the owner there.
And where is this?
It's in Quag on Montauk Highway. It's killer. I mean, it's a beautiful building. He's a fabulous chef. He's a very talented guy. So we went there, and my friend Claudia, who reps Martin Scott Wines, you know, invited me. And I guess about 12 of us, something like that. And we started off with a Côte de Rhone, and then we had a white Chateauneuf du Pape with some pecanic-based scallops, which are always a treat, you know, this time of year. And then Christian, they served two wines. They served two Chateauneufs with the entree, with the mid-course, excuse me, 20 and a 21. And then at the end, the mid-course was like a potato gnocchi with black truffles. And then finally served the Crescent Farm duck with some sautéed cabbage and butternut squash. It's real good. And then the third course, he had a 2018 Chateauneuf du Pape. And then they had another one. It was a 2016. But it was made like they used to make it in the 1800s, you know. Crazy, like round bottle. Just interesting wines. Anyway, I always try not to buy wine after I get a buzz. Because it's like what I always tell my salesman, you know, when you come in here, if you come in here at 12 o'clock, I may buy a bottle. If you come in here at 5 after I'm whacked, I'll buy everything in the portfolio, you know what I mean? So if you want to sell wine, just come in at, you know, 4:30, quarter to 5, after everybody else's. So I usually taste one on like Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You know, it's like a, I always have like a, it looks like a runway, you know, everybody backed up. But anyway, if you get a chance, and everybody out there, Stone Creek Inn is, I think, one of the best restaurants on Long Island. I mean, he's just a fabulous cook. And then they gave a tiramisu for dessert, which I need like I need another tattoo. I mean, you know, I don't need any sugar, you know. But that was good, too. And the only problem is it was I had to come back, you know, to Oyster Bay. So it's like an hour and 10 minutes. It's a long drive home.
I was going to say, because I had to be out on the East End a little bit. I was out in Hampton Bay, Bays, Southampton. Mm-hmm. Pass by Quag.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a trip.
It is. You know, I make it all the time, you know, because I'm back and forth. I have probably have more miles on the expressway than, and three harmonicas, by the way. I don't know. You know the story, right?
No.
No, I was trying to teach myself how to play the harmonica in the car because I had all this time back and forth, you know? And I got to the point where I had Mary had a little lamb, and then I got frustrated and I flung it out the window, you know? And then I figured if I was a quitter, I'd be an AA, right? So I'm not a quitter. I go buy another harp. I get it like a C harp, you know? And now I got that Bob Dylan in and out thing going on, but I got frustrated and threw it out. So then I bought a really expensive one thinking it's going to keep me from flinging it, you know, out the window. So if anybody wants to, you know, go on the median divider between exit 68 and 71, there's three harmonicas out there somewhere in the grass, you know? Anyway, turns out I'm sticking to guitar because apparently I'm not a good harmonica player. But I do. I have more. I think I have more miles on the LIE than almost anybody in the island here. You know. So anyway, so as like I was saying before, we have a couple of guests today, and they've opened up this cool little wine bar in Melville that Valerie and I just kind of ambled into one night, and pleasantly surprised. Food was great. You know, the wine's good, man. It really. I think the new word is curated. They curated the list, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, they put together a really interesting, fun list. So why don't we take a little break, and we'll pay some bills early, and we'll come back and bring them in the green room. But don't tell them. If I send you over there and you mention my name, they'll give you a free wine and pizza on time. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a couple.
Amano Osteria and Wine Bar has been created by Adam Lovett and Tom Shawdell to bring the feel and flavors of a true Tuscan Osteria to the North Fork. Amano showcases local growers, farmers, cheese, and winemakers, marrying their ingredients with the taste traditions of the Tuscan countryside. The casual appeal, the flavors of Italy, and a moderate price structure appeal to all, ensuring year-round patronage. This North Fork eatery sends out snappy salads and seafood, pastas and antipasta, along with a respectable wine list. Amano features local vineyards and Italian varietals from the U.S. and Italian wines. The kitchen remains open until 11 and has established a later dining crowd, sparking a local nightlife dining scene. Amano is on the cutting edge of a new high-quality and affordable dining experience on the North Fork. Amano Osteria and Wine Bar, 13550 Main Road in Matatuck. Serving dinner daily, Amano is also open for lunch on Saturday and Sunday. For reservations and further information, call them at 631-298-4800 or visit them on the web at amanorestaurant.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Playing with Fire on 1100 WHLI AM and 104.7 WHLI FM. Long Island's own food, wine, and lifestyle show with your host, Tom Shawdell, chef, author, and restaurateur.
Okay, so we have a couple of guests today that we just brought into the studio, Rolando and Michelle Adamovich, and they opened this very cool little wine bar called Citrus over in Melville right there, just north of the Northern State.
I'm excited because we're a little south here in Farmingdale.
Yeah, it's right up the road. I mean, I could hit there. If you give me a driver and a 7-iron, I could probably get there from here, you know?
And there's a lot of great food restaurants and establishments up that way, right?
Yeah, yeah. Melville Corridor has really come by. Anyway, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, so I got to ask you a question because I'm a wino, all right? I've been at this wine game for a long time. why wine? How did it happen? Tell me about Citrus and how it all started.
So Citrus was a little idea that we started to think about when the next door, we own a bagel store right uh-huh. next door to Citrus, opened up that place. And we've been around, we love food, we love wine. We've been to places in Costa Rica that kind of inspired us mm-hmm. for Citrus. There was a little place that we loved when we were there. We've been a couple times. And it was all about just like really good little plates with something citrus involved in the, infused in the food or the somewhere in the menu, and good wine. And it was very, like, had a very cool vibe, very natural, but elegant. And we loved it, and we kind of wanted to bring it here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it takes a fair amount of courage to open up a restaurant these times, believe it or not. So what made you pull the trigger? You just had the location or liked it or, you know, what happened there?
Well, I think we had the location first. Mm-hmm. And then we started designing it, and it just kind of bloomed into this wine bar, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. It's we were talking a little bit before, we started recording about wine lists and stuff. And so when you first start to conceive it, I mean, how did you think about the wine? I mean, what was the driving force behind, picking and choosing? Is it stuff that you've had before? Because I noticed the reason I went there is I noticed it on social media. And I always go to the menus and see. And I usually look at the wine menu first, And
definitely
most of the time,
a wino.
Yeah. Most of the time I look at the wine menu, I'm like, oh, no, not again. You know what I mean? It's almost like the Italian restaurants have the same menu. Everybody's got the same stuff. And I saw yours. And I was like, whoa, cool, man. They got some really cool stuff on there. So how did that all happen? Have you drunk esoteric wines or, is it in your DNA? How did it happen?
Yes. That exactly, you hit, around the head on the nail, exactly, we didn't want to be the same as everybody else.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get wine that comes from like small vineyards, small boutique wineries.
Yeah.
Trying something new. And, with the research, we have friends that collaborated on it.
Right.
And we put a menu together that, we're trying different wines.
Sure.
We went out of the box and trying to bring something new. Like you said, we don't want to bring the tip. We do have, good names that people know.
Yeah, yeah.
But we also have new stuff that people don't know and they can't get anywhere else.
That's the great part. I mean, for me, it's the interesting part about it. I mean, we always try and, I actually hadn't been to California, in probably 20 years. And I went out 2 years ago with my daughter, and I went specifically to try and find wines that were made between 12.5 and 13.5% alcohol, because most of those cabs are just monsters, 15%, 14.5. And to me, they all taste the same. It's all this big fruit jammy thing, But there are some boutique makers out there that are doing some interesting things. And I think that, that to me is the kind of indication to me about, how serious you are about the wine business when you go and find these little boutique producers. Because we have, I think what we have now is a lot of recipe wines. I have this country club gig over there that I'm doing, and, I'll have Camus, Silver Oak. Yeah, and I'm like, do you have any idea what you're drinking? I mean, it was like...
That's the problem, that people don't know what they're drinking. A lot of just go by the name.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have Camus. Mm-hmm. But as you know, it's not 100%... some of the stuff is mixed.
Yeah, yeah.
And with all the stuff, So, we're trying to stick with wine that is vintage. That's, 100% whatever it is.
Sure.
It's a Cabernet or Malbec or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was the idea behind it. So, trying to educate people about it, it's a little difficult. So a lot of people also want the name.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So we do have some of the names, but it's we're looking for people with open mind and willing to try new stuff, and they won't be disappointed.
Yeah. No, it's funny. We live in a very name-conscious area. I mean, if you look at every, look at the Americana, it's Coach, it's Prada, it's Hilfiger, it's all these,
But things. I have to interject. You just were talking about a menu at a restaurant in Locust Valley.
Right.
And there was a surname to the duck or to the chicken. You said Southwood Farms or something, whatever. So what's that all about?
No, that's identifying a farm. That's not like Mercedes. That's like, that's like saying the Mercedes dealership helped me out and he did a great job. It's not like Mercedes would be the chicken. But the chicken came from somewhere. So you're trying to, identify the provenance of where it came from. And it's the same with wines. You want wines that come from, I want this little guy who's out in the field who's got his hands dirty, who's checking the Brix levels, who's looking at it. Not like, You know, the problem with these big name companies is that in the 70s, I was, you know, drinking wine a long time, but in the 70s, you know, they had great wine because the winemaker was out there. Then the winemaker got older. The kids didn't want to be farmers, so they sell it to a Gallo or a Constellation, right? And now they have to get their money back. They paid $80 million for the brand name, so they start making these wines. I was talking to my friend's daughter who's employed now by Gallo out in California. They have 3 1-million-barrel tanks. Mm-hmm. 1 million, that's Lake Ronkonkoma, you know? Right. It's like nuts, yeah, you know? So they become recipe wines,
right,
because
it all tastes the same.
Exactly, you know, exactly. So, I mean, my hat's off to you for, you know, looking for these boutique producers who are doing winemaking, not recipe beverages, right, you know, which is what the other things
the
are.
People,
yeah,
that really love wine.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
You're
going
to taste the difference of the climate that year, the earth, the grape that was produced that year.
Yeah.
And it might be different than the batch you had the last time, but it's still, you know, beautiful flavors and excellent wine.
And what's the formula for sourcing? I mean, are they coming to you? Are you coming to them?
Well, we have, we consulted with other people too, and then we got different, we'll bring different wines to taste, and then we made the decision on which wines.
They mostly come to us, though. They show up.
Yeah, that's the fun, right, part of the business.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, we're not buying wine from the biggest companies.
Right,
around.
Yeah.
It's more metal and people, that, like you said, you know, they're trying to bring something different.
Yeah, plus the little independent guys, you know, I probably have about 20 people that I buy from, you know, and I don't use Southern much. I don't use Empire much, you know, if at all. You know, but, you know, the Martin Scotts and the you know, independents and, you know, all these little wine producers and stuff. And I do a lot of Long Island. I've been kind of waving that flag for a long time. When I had Jewel, we had 130 Long Island wines on the list, you know, which was kind of cool. And then at Allure, we had an all Long Island list for a while, which was kind of fun, you know. And wound up with a Wine Spectator Award for the list, which was interesting. I think
that's
it was the
amazing.
Only time that's ever happened with Long Island wines. But, you know, it's funny how people have these notions about, you know, we're the only self-hating wine region in the world. You know, I mean, you had any Long Island wine, it sucks, you know. I mean,
right.
You hear that all the time, right?
Yeah, you do.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I mean, I was talking to a guy who I only drink 90-point wines and above, one of the members of the club. And I said, well, why don't you try some Pomonoff because they have like 16, 17 wines that are rated over 90. He says, well, that's bullshit, you know. And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's not really a zip code issue. 90's a 90, whether it's California, France,
exactly.
Or Long Island, you know.
Right. Tasting it. Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there's great wine being made all over. And I think you have A, B, and C level wineries in every region of the country, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the A-level wineries are going to be great. And the C, you know, somebody's got to make Yellowtail. I mean, they got to make it for the people who want to drink it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
know?
We haven't actually added any of the Long Island wines to our menu, but we are trying to figure it out. We want to really make good choices.
I can help you there.
Yeah.
I know all the vineyards pretty well.
Yeah, we're meeting with some people and we're trying to be selective a little bit more, you know.
Yeah. The thing I always tell people, too, about Long Island, like I've dealt with guys out east. I've been in the restaurant business on the East End for 30 years now. And, you know, I was talking to this one guy. I said, yeah, you're in the middle of wine country. You have no Long Island wine. Well, they all stand. Yeah. All right. Well, let's say that's true. Let's say they all suck. Why wouldn't you want 25 tasting room managers sending people to your door every day? Because the two questions people ask when they go to the winery is, you know, where can I find your wine and where should I go to eat? You know? So it's a business decision first and, you know, a decision later. I mean, I buy a lot of wine that I don't really like because I know other people do, you know? So I'm buying for them,
yeah,
right?
You can't just buy wine that you like. You'll be so
limited.
Yeah,
I'd have 600 Burgundies and, right. and one, you know, one Chacolina.
Right, exactly.
So
I'm in Malbec, I might bet myself.
Oh, yeah?
I understand.
Yeah,
Malbec, that's my drink. But, yeah, people like, if I would buy them for myself, it would be a whole different deal.
Of course, you know, you can. You gotta spread your palate out,
exactly.
You know.
I'm a little bit of a margarita girl.
Oh, look at you.
But I had someone at the bar last night who wanted a margarita without triple sec and wondered why anyone put it in the margarita. So to each his own,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So that brings up a good point. So you can go for a glass of wine or a cocktail.
Yes. We have a limited specialty cocktails. We do the syrups ourselves. blueberries. We're using fresh blueberries. We have a chai margarita. We have a blueberry Basil Hayden bourbon drink that's to die for. An apple cider bourbon, Basil Hayden bourbon. Very good. Excellent.
So just quick, while you're talking about the cocktails, it seems everybody's smoking things. Is that something you get involved with, smoke cocktails?
You're talking about food, right? You're not talking about...
No, I'm
talking. I'm just checking, you know. I don't want you wandering
not
off.
Smoking anything.
I don't want you wandering off the reservation.
Everybody's doing this in smoke-infused cocktails and stuff. I don't know if it's.
I've seen it. It seems pretty trendy, but we haven't tried that yet.
But I like the formula that you were saying with your different additives. And
we
whatever.
Do caramelize the apple we put on top of the apple cider Basil Hayden bourbon.
Wow.
Nice. You got too much time on your hands.
Wait. I don't know about that, but.
So now you got my mind wandering. So you got all these great wine choices. There's an option for cocktails. And what about food? What's going on there? And you said something about if the citrus flavor isn't in the wine, it's in the food. So
yes.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yes. So we are starting out small plates. We have some tartines. We have these cumin chicken buttermilk chicken wings that are to die for. Everything either has a little citrus, either a little lemon zest or a little fig jam. We have a Serrano ham tartine with fig jam and what cheese do
lemon,
we have?
Lemon
ricotta. Honey lemon ricotta.
Nice.
I mean, everything has a little flavor of citrus, a little salt, a little savory.
And great boards, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a board. She wasn't really hungry, so we had a board. I wound up eating the whole thing. I felt like I swallowed a small farm animal when I left there. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so full.
So some meat, some cheese, right. Some fruit.
Yeah, it was great.
So all the meats. I grew up, I'm half Italian, so I grew up with that stuff.
That's yeah, like, yeah.
We had that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I've been all over Italy, and the same thing. I used to eat that for breakfast all the time, you know what I mean? And then I get on the plane, and my ankles look like an old church lady, you know, like this big, you know, got all the salt and everything.
Well, if you're in Italy and you go to work, you take a piece of cheese and a piece of bread. And
that's
how you go to work, you know, in the field or whatever it is. And usually in the farm.
I do that every morning. I swear to God. I mean, I eat a lot of feta. But I'd rather have that. Eggs. I'm not an egg guy. Egg sandwiches, they don't appeal to me. I'd much rather have a piece of Parmesan Reggiano. God, please. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. It's fabulous.
Yeah, we take care of brand getting good products when it comes to cured meats, all the Serrano ham and the prosciutto, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure we got the good stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. 4 month
age, 18 month age.
Sure.
Same thing with the Reggiano Parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got Trufolino. We got a little different flavors.
Sure.
So you got nice different choices of cheeses and cured meats. It's very high quality. That's what I'm going
to
say.
That's the fun thing, too. I mean, you know, to me, cheese and wine, it's like tea and crumpets. I mean, it goes together so well, obviously, you know. So you can go there and you get a board, you know, and then, you know, you can split a board with a friend or, you know, carry or whoever. And then you can have, you know, like two or three glasses of wine.
Now, is there crackers or there's some baguette? What's there?
We have French baguette. Yeah, we have sourdough. We serve it with the French baguette.
Yeah.
The board with.
A little toasted bread with your board,
yeah.
A little olive oil.
I'm disappointed you didn't bring anything. Yeah, I'm getting hungry listening to this, you know.
You should have brought the bread. Some cheese.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, it's not unusual for us to be recording the show in the morning and be sampling the things that you're saying with a little bit of wine.
Yeah, we've had some breakfast wines in here tasting, and oyster. The best one was the oyster farmer came in and we were opening oysters and slurping oysters at 9 in the morning. It was fabulous.
Nice.
Oh my God!
I get you going.
It's the best.
So I'm sitting here and I'm saying, wow, I'm so close. I got to visit. So is it something that you need a reservation or walk-ins? It works at the moment.
Walk-ins are still working. We have some seats at the bar. We have tables. You can walk in. You can reserve a table, but right now you can walk in.
And what's the logistics as far as like when are you open?
We're open Wednesdays through Saturday nights, 5 to 10, 10:30, depending on our crowd. Sometimes we've been known to keep partying till 11, 11:30. So... Wednesday through Saturday.
And can you accommodate larger groups if somebody was having a small family gathering or whatever?
We've seemed to cater to the women turning 30, 40, 50, some...
I can't believe they admit parties. To 50.
Yeah.
So guys, you just heard that. So if you're looking to meet women, Citrus is the place to go up in Melville.
Some nights we look out, it is all women and a couple lucky men.
I want to come down. You know, I'm catnip for the over 70 girls, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Tom's got this hippie biker chic and Valerie. It's okay.
I've got that too. We've had a few over 70.
Uh-huh.
4 or 5 espresso martinis.
Oh yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, you'll have to run to keep up with them. Actually,
I have a great story about that. We had when I had Cool Fish, I was in the kitchen one night, and it was a Sunday. And Sunday, you usually get some older people in there, you know. So this waitress comes running in. She goes, "You better get out there. I think somebody just died." And I'm like, what? So I go running out there, and it was this family of 5. It was mom, dad, daughter was about 12 or 13, son was about 10, and grandma was flattened out on the floor, man. Just go by. So I'm like, what happened? She goes, well, she had 2 In-N-Out Stoli martinis within about 6 minutes, you know? Wow. So as she's tipping the second one over, she went right back over the chair and flattened out. So I get there, and I'm looking, and the woman says to me, I think there's something wrong with mother. I'm like, well, that's accurate. Yeah, there's something wrong with mother for sure, you know. I said, is she medicated? Whatever. No, she drank martini. I mean, how many? 2. When? You've been here 10 minutes. I mean, you know. So anyway, the woman says, you know, can you give her mouth to mouth or something? I said, I don't want to put a grandma on my resume yet. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, that should be the son-in-law's job. That's a get-out-of-jail-free card for the rest of his life, you know. Brings mom back, you know. So anyway, we finally wake her up, you know. EMTs come, the whole thing. She doesn't want to go to hospital. So finally, she convinces everybody she's fine. They finish dinner. So the waitress comes in to me, and she says, do you believe what happened out there? I said, do you know what happened out there? She goes, yeah, the lady passed out. I said, no, the lady passed out, got up, finished dinner, and aced an intervention all in 15, 20 minutes. It was the best performance I think I've ever seen out of an 80-year-old, you know? I'm in awe.
Yeah, she was great. A trooper.
She was.
She didn't want to go to the hospital. She wanted another martini.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Classic. Cool.
So I have to ask, I mean, you have 2 businesses that sort of make your working day 24/7. A bagel store, notoriously, you probably have bakers at 4 in the morning or something.
Right. So you said it, you know, we have bakers. So we're not there at 4 o'clock in the morning. But
I'm sorry.
We go back and forth. We're there. We're part of the day. My wife, Michelle, is there. I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a really good manager that runs a bagel store.
Uh-huh.
And we have good crew.
Listen, we're not baking.
But yes. No.
Right. We're drinking wine, so we're definitely not baking.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. So then, you know, and then we open the wine bar afterwards.
Well, store. If I ever decide to open up a bagel shop, I'm definitely opening a wine bar.
100%.
You're not a bagel or a wine.
I'm not an early guy, you know. Although I get up early. I just can't get to work before 10. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so talk to me about some of the wines that you have. Now, I was kind of seduced by the Chacolina. One of my favorite Spanish grapes of all time is Hondarabi Zuri. I love it, you know. And I think it's one of the more interesting grapes. You know, it's usually grown by the sea, and wine grapes being sponges, it almost takes in that salinity or whatever, you know.
Right. Well, that was recommended to us by our good friend
Craig Atwood.
Craig.
So keep him around.
Yeah.
He knows what you know.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on, and so that's why we had that wine there when we tried it. We actually agree.
Yeah.
You know, definitely it's a very good wine, so. That's how that came along.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with the smaller batch wineries. You're going to taste the nuances and where they are and the year that they're producing their grape. And it's unique. It's different. It's not going to taste exactly the same every year or every batch.
Thank God. I mean, yeah. I think that's, for me, wine has to have a sense of place. You know, I want to taste where it came from, you know, not so much the recipe with, you know, this and that. And, you know, I do like blends, but I'm talking about more like inoculation and stuff like that. But when you get somebody who's out there and working it and, you know, I know I've made wine. I make my own wine. I probably have about or 10 different varietals that I do every year. And
you
I make
grow the grapes. You bring them in.
I would love to tell you I'm a farmer. I'm not. What happens is I have the run of the vineyard at Pominac.
Nice.
So I've been friends with them for years. I've been making wines there since 2000, so 23 years now. And what happens is, you know, they do the farming, they do the vineyard managing, this, that, and the other thing. They bring the grapes in, they crush them. I just get the juice. So I'll taste through the barrels, and I'll pick the barrels that I like, and then I'll make a blend or whatever I'm going to do, you know. And it's perfect because if the wine sucks, I blame them. If it's great, I take the credit, you know what I mean? So it's like it's a no-lose situation for me, you know.
That's the good thing about the husband and wife team.
It's his fault, you know. Yeah, if he wasn't such a, you know, you know. But I think what I was trying to get to is that, you know, the blends have a lot to do with the success of the wine. I mean, there's a talent in blending grapes because I've seen when I've blended reds, you know, when you do the Bordeaux blend, right, you get to like Petit Verdot at the end. It's the one you're going to put a little bit in there for color or whatever. And you go, oh, a little more. It's getting better, 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 better. And then all of a sudden it goes off the cliff bad,
right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
And it's amazing how one percentage point of one of those blending wines can change the entire flavor profile of the wine.
It's a science.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Oh, yeah. But it's kind of like watching Chopped. You know, you give like three chefs the same basket, and, you know, you get three different things. It's the same thing with wineries.
100%,
and yeah. But I think to me the blends are fun. I mean, I kind of look at the blends like the Beatles.
Right.
You know, when you have John Primal screaming with the wife, you know, you have Paul killing diabetics with his lyrics, you have George flying around looking for Krishna, and you got Ringo's kind of like a cartoon, right? And when they're separated, you know, but you put those, lock those guys in a room like this and magic happens.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's the same thing.
It comes together.
Yeah, I think that sometimes blends can be the, you know, the sum of the parts is greater than
100%.
You know?
Some of the blends are really, really good.
Oh, yeah, great stuff, great stuff. And there's more and more of that going on. I think, you know, we're in the golden age of winemaking now because technology's caught up with the grape. I mean, I remember 30 years ago, some people would come to me with wines. You couldn't gag them down. They were terrible. It was, oh, my God, no, thank you, you know. I haven't tasted a bad wine in probably 10 years, you know, maybe longer. I mean, there's good and better stuff you like, stuff you don't, you know.
And to your taste,
but,
too.
Man, I mean, the quality is nuts. I mean, my mother was a box wine girl, you know.
Right.
And
aren't
I go to her house, and I'm like, oh, jeez, you know. And I taste it, and I'm like, that's not terrible.
Shit.
And it's the only one here, so I'm going for it.
It's
you know?
Good. It's really
some
good.
Vintage wine in the boxes.
Yeah, she will come to my house and she goes, you know, can you make me a spritzer? I'm looking at my cat. I got a Chevalier Montrachet. Oh, jeez, no, I can't. You know,
I'm not won't doing, do it, Mom.
I'm not defiling this with seltzer. You know, whatever. Fun stuff. You know, great stuff. So, as far as what you're doing now in the future, you're saying you're going to move some wines out, you're changing the list around, you're going to keep it alive, and that's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. So we're trying, originally whatever bottles we got, and now as we're going through them, we're going to change and bring some new wines. We're going to bring some more from Long Island, Portugal.
Yeah.
More.
So that's interesting because it seems that everybody wants to be knowledgeable about what they enjoy. And again, probably one of the more intimidating things in life is going into a wine shop with the incredible inventory of wines, or going to a restaurant and, you know, you're on a first date, you're trying to impress a young lady, and just not having a good handle on it. But listening to the way you're talking about bringing different things in and out, you can get a real education and. Again, taste different things along the way. So to be a frequent visitor to Citrus, it seems like a really good thing.
Now, do you get people that ever come in and go, so, like, what should I drink? Can you help me out here? That's kind of cool. You always have somebody on premise who can kind of guide them through, you know?
Yeah, and it's all about taste, like, and what you're in the mood for and what you maybe want to eat. If you want a board, maybe you want a red. It's like, it's so subjective. So
well,
you
that's
try
it.
To listen to what they're, you know, craving and kind of go with that.
Yeah. I always hesitate to, you know, to not hesitate, but I'm always a little leery about, you know, suggesting wines because, right. you know, I have a certain
palate. You almost
palate.
Have to pick the brain.
Yeah, yeah. So I always tell them, listen, you know, taste it. If you don't like it, I'll drink it, you know.
Right. Well, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I'm a sewer, connoisseur, S-E-W-E-R. Yeah.
Well, but choosing a wine is, it, you have obviously taste desires, but then there's also price point. I mean,
right.
the, that's the reality of it.
Well, that's... I
also choosing the flights, so we're going to be...
Oh, now we're talking.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
we... go ahead.
So, yeah, so this weekend we're actually... introducing some flights so you can have a little taste. We're doing Old White, a flight.
You must listen to Playing with Fire because Tom and I talk about that. If I go to the Russian Tea Room, I can do a flight of vodka. I go to the Dirty Taco here on Long Island, you can do a flight of
tacos.
Of tequilas.
Oh, tacos too.
But now, and we always say, well, yeah. what about a flight of wine or whatever? That right. That's, to me, that's like, wow.
Right, so yeah. we're working on different things. You know, we want to do different flights of even whiskey and with wine. We start little by little. That's our style. We're trying to, like, do a little bit at a time.
Yeah, like crawl before you walk thing, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what flights are you planning? Do you have a specific one in mind? Because I have nothing to do Saturday night,
all
by
right.
the way.
We have we're doing three different flights, uh-huh. an Old White, Old Red.
Right.
Old World White, Old World Red, and then Modern Mix.
Nice.
So New World mix. So we have some California in that one.
Right.
Argentinian mm-hmm. wine in that one. The Old World, obviously, we have our Spain. We have Italian, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Noir. So we're also going to let people choose so that, you know, because we always have that person who's like, well, I like those three, but I want to try that one from that board. So mm-hmm. we're going to be flexible with it.
No, so it's three wines to a flight?
Four wines, 3 ounce pours.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Saturday, set your clock, Tom. I'll be there. I'll be there. Yeah, I was. You know, we were talking before about the Soho Kitchen in Manhattan, and they were. That was my first introduction to a wine bar, and they had 130 wines by the glass. It was insane.
It's hard to choose, honestly.
It is. I was just down in Delray Beach. There's a place called the Wine Room down there, and it's the same thing. They have those Napa Wine Station things. They probably had same thing, 80 wines by the glass, something like that. So it was like Disneyland for me. I walk in, they give you a credit card, you know, and you put as much money as you want on it, you know, $20, in my case, $200. But, and then you put that in the machine, and then you can pour whatever you want, and it comes out with like a 1.5 ounce pour, 3 ounce pour, 6 ounce pour,
oh,
5 ounce
cool.
pour, whatever. Yeah, so I was, you know, I was walking around here bumping into walls, you know, my credit card.
Right.
Put it in, you know, I was there when.
Was 200 enough? Or
huh?
Was 200 enough?
The first time it was, yeah, the first time it was. And then I went back a couple, so it was funny. I was getting there with the guy opening it with the key and leaving with the sweeper at 2 in the morning. It's like, maybe I should just calm down here a little. But it's such fun. I mean, and the point of bringing that up is just, yeah. I think if you're a wine drinker, if you want to, you know, learn about wine, have fun with it, you know, a place like Citrus is the place to go because you have this chance to drink all these little different things and you don't have to commit to a bottle. You don't have to commit to a, you know, it's
and a new. You also try something new that you might like it. Said before, you
yeah,
know, find somewhere else.
So now, exactly. Now you guys got my mind wandering.
Uh oh.
And I'm going to try to.
I'm a little worried.
Put something together here.
Yeah.
Tom, you haven't done a book signing in a while.
Uh huh.
And you were talking about Barnes and Noble and just not coming together, and the place in Huntington isn't around anymore.
Barnes and Noble and Carl Place dissed me, man. I had a big book signing
so
out east.
So I'm thinking that maybe as we get closer, and it's only a hop, skip, and a jump till Valentine's Day at this point, maybe something in February we do a book signing over at Citrus, and people can enjoy the time spent with you with these wine flights and these boards, and I'm psyched.
Two of my favorite
Have you met my
things.
Agent?
Two of my favorite things, books and wine.
Yeah. Yeah,
that sounds
drink till you can't read.
Yes,
you know, it's perfect.
The book gets better too.
Yeah, I know. She should turn it up, turn it around right. though. You know.
No, well, you know, it's funny because Tom doesn't have at least let's call local, middle Long Island retail type restaurant anymore.
Yeah.
He's got the country club gig. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are pining for Tom Shawdell, and again, what better
There's two of them. It's you and there's one other guy in there.
There might be more.
It's also very accessible. It's very, we're very close to the parkway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're on 110.
Yeah.
So
no, it seems,
you can get there from anywhere in 15 minutes.
It seems like you got the great locale because, again, you got the mall up there. Again, mm-hmm. there is an assortment of restaurants, and the more familiar people get with the 110 corridor, but the northern part of it, again, there's some really nice dining yeah. opportunities, mm-hmm. but... I think that it's just a great idea, and it's again interesting that you guys jumped on it. And I mean, I was just down in South Carolina for the Thanksgiving break, and I saw a business model that was pretty cool. You were talking about espresso martinis. All of a sudden, the women are all into these martinis, espresso martinis. And they're not even doing them just with the meal. They're like ending the meal instead of having some cappuccino or whatever, or a cordial. They're doing a
it's espresso. It's like dessert.
Yeah, yeah. So we had dinner, and then they said, yeah, let's, you know, I'd like a espresso martini. We were somewhere. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. So my girlfriend's daughter said, oh, there's this really cool dessert bar down the road. And we went there, and it was like a dessert place, but it was also a bar. So they had what they called adult milkshakes and I guess alcohol coffees and
see
whatever.
To me that sounds like a hangover waiting to happen, all that sugar, man.
My god, and then the dessert menu was crazy, all these different cakes and whatever.
Nice.
So when you come up with a business model like you guys did, and people are thinking outside the box, it's it makes for interest, because Long Island's really getting a little tired in a sense. The other night we were coming back from a concert, and the show got out about 10:30, 11, and we said, let's get some ice cream or something. Nobody's open anymore.
There's nowhere to go.
Diners close at 11 yeah. o'clock. I'm not exaggerating. We drove from the UBS Arena, which is in Elmont.
Yeah.
And we came out towards Merrick. There was three diners we went to, all closed. International Cafe was in Rockville Center, which is a pretty vibrant nightlife.
Yeah.
Closed. Really, there was nothing. It was just amazing.
Right.
That's my roots. I started as a waitress at a diner. 24 hours we were open.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sad to watch the diners. That, you know, that model doesn't work anymore.
No.
You know, because they're paying the same amount for food that we are, and you can't sell, you know, fish at $14.95 with, you know, soup, salad, entree, right. dessert, you know, it's gone.
It's so sad that the only thing open at night is, like, you know, Wendy's and McDonald's. It's crazy.
Well, there's always White Castle, too, you know. slam 34, 40 of those, and, you know. Yeah, it's just, I think the whole restaurant, you know, for me, the reason I'm not, you know, banging back in so fast is that I don't think the model works anymore. Restaurant right. model works anymore, you know.
Right.
I got sick of the HR issues, you know, because Jewel was such a big place. I had 80 employees. Everybody's looking to sue you. It's nuts. Right, and then you right. got the government all over you. Every 20 minutes, they got another tax and right. audits and this, that, and the
it's
other
also,
thing.
It's also, you know, it's pretty expensive. It's hard to go to restaurants. You spend, definitely, people cut back on restaurants. Because
oh, you have to, man. Yeah.
That's another thing that we have. We it's a reasonable price.
Yes.
Point
yeah.
When you come to a wine bar and you get a decent meal, with, you know, nice wine, and you're not spending a crazy amount of money.
Right. And also, the small plates thing works for a lot of people because you can have some bites. I mean,
sure.
I've always eaten like that. I mean, I'm very, very rarely get an entree because I don't want to get messed down with starches and vegetables that right. usually are just an afterthought, you know. But, you know, the appetizers, that's where all the imagination yeah. is, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, and so. You can, you know, try it. That's what we love. You know, you try different things.
Yeah.
As opposed to have one big meal. And you might not like it, that might not be great, and then you're stuck with one big piece of pasta or whatever it is.
You know, we've talked about that a lot. On the South Shore, you got Blackbird, and you got
yeah,
Salumi.
Yeah.
And now up north, you have
Citrus.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny, I had an opportunity to go to Beju, the old Jewel,
yeah.
And I was really impressed. It was really nice. But there's this other phenomenon here on Long Island that the few restaurants that stay open a little late all of a sudden become a lounge at night.
Yeah, nightclub.
And the loud, you know, DJ music or whatever, which I guess is alluring to others and a, you know, a turnoff to.
You were just talking to some actually customers yesterday about that.
Yeah.
There were a lot of places to keep it going. I guess that's some.
What they have to do. Yeah.
They have to do. It's not really dining people late, you know, anymore.
So. It was a bar. That's what happened.
But it becomes more like a. Right.
As the dining room sort of ended.
Emptied.
Right. They were. Hanging out in the bar area or whatever.
And we're trying to be the opposite to that. That the Citrus is a very, has a atmosphere where you can come and chat.
So do you have any live entertainment or just some nice mellow music?
No, we got nice
music,
right. And you know, we find that people enjoy that.
Yeah.
Opposed to having, we used to have live music and it was nice, but you know, people like, sometimes it was too loud. Or so then became a wine bar, became too loud, even though the music was nice.
Now, talk about the decor, the ambiance. Is it high tops? Is it booths? Is it tables? What? And
it's a little mix. There's some bench seating with tables, and there's a few high tops, and there's a little lounge area, and then we have the bar area. So, and it's very like people come in and they're like, it's beautiful. It's not dark, but it's warm and inviting. It's got a little mix of our Costa Rica, like Spanish, Argentinian, a little nature, a little wood. We decorated for the holidays.
Yeah.
It's really. Do you agree, Tom?
I do. I think it's great, man.
So now you spoke about the holidays.
I wish I thought of it.
Do you have gift cards? And so great gift for a family. And again, new place around. You know,
yeah, it's a great Christmas gift, you know, a gift certificate. Yeah, what's great about it?
Right? Yeah.
You can get them online too if you want. Yeah.
So the gift certificate thing is fabulous because most people don't remember they have them. You know, I had a guy call me up one time at, I think it was at one of our sets, I don't remember which one. He goes to me, what's your policy on gift certificates? I said, I don't understand the question. He goes, your policy, what's your policy on gift certificates? I said, well, my policy is I sell them to you and I pray that you lose them. That's my policy. He goes, no, seriously. I'm like, no, seriously. So he wanted to know about expiration dates or whatever, you know. So he says, you know, no, does it expire? I said, well, I don't know, when'd you buy it, you know? He said, my son gave it to me 2 years ago for Christmas. I said, well, bring it down. We're just trying to make friends. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know? He says, well, I can't really bring it down. I said, why? He says, well, we had a small house fire about 3 months ago, and I think we lost it in a house fire. I think it burned up. I said, so you don't really have a gift, do you? Oh, no, I have one. My son bought it for me. I said, all right, bring it down. I'll honor it. He says, what are you, some kind of a moron? I just told you it burned up in a house fire. I said, sir, if you're trolling for free food, calling me names is a really bad idea. You should be a little nicer to me, you know?
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So you just said gift cards are available on the website. What might the website be?
Citruswinebar.com.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. How long did you agonize over that name?
Oh, a long time.
I bet, you know, months. You know? Oh, it's great stuff. Yeah, you know, the great thing, too, about, you know, most people don't know this side of it, but the great thing about small plates is that not only can the customer have some fun and, you know, and try different things, but the owner has, like, a little stealth economics there because, you know, what happens is when you come in hungry, I know I do this all the time, one of those, and she's always going, no, it's too much food. It's not too much food. I just want to see it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bill, $280. How the hell did I get that? It's like,
but
great.
I believe there's an art to ordering small plates. I mean, you can sit down and order 40 different plates and have them all come at once. To me, that's too much.
Right.
I like the ability of spending some time somewhere and, again, having a constant flow, and is that something you can sort of talk through with your your server? And
that's what we that's what we try to do because we don't want to overwhelm the table. Also, so one or two at a time. If you're ordering a board, that'll come out first, and then a couple small plates to embellish that.
We actually have a system for that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. So we have a system where it says four people, two people. So if two people ordered three different
small plates.
Right.
Then we do a little bit at a time.
Right.
If four people in three plates, then we'll do a little more.
Sure.
So we actually put a number.
Yeah.
When the ticket comes out.
Well, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we think about
every once in a while, an idea works out.
You know, I find it like we recently did a chef's menu at an Asian restaurant, and it was a big selection of things, but they brought it all out once.
Right.
And not that they were rushing us out, but that's what ended up happening.
We made that mistake, and we adjusted.
Corrected it.
We corrected it, right.
So, yeah, like I said, you know, a flow, and if you're having a flight of wine, it just, It just makes for a leisurely.
Right.
Evening.
That stuff gets cold, you know, if you bring
it. Yeah.
I like hot food.
Yeah, by the way. Yeah.
You know, like when I eat food, it has to be hot.
Sure.
I can't stand it when the food comes out.
Yeah.
Cold.
So. Yeah, no, there's an art to it. You know, I had a place called T's years ago, which was the first small plates restaurant on Long Island. And we used to get these tickets in, you know, and they were this long. I mean, they were like 3 feet, you know, because we had this one and then we had that one. And it was tricky, you know.
Right.
It was tricky. And we figured it out, but it wasn't easy, you know.
Right, because then you have to keep track of.
Yeah, you want to flow. You got to, yeah. You know, expediting is a problem.
And what are some of the small plate items that you're talking about?
We have a fennel sausage ratatouille. We have a mushroom tartine with asparagus. We have pork sliders. We roast the pork for over 12 hours. They're amazing. We're adding to the menu. We're going to do a little skirt steak that you can add. You can order just the skirt steak with a couple sides. Papa's smashed potatoes roasted with garlic.
Nice.
We have mussels in a tomato, San Marzano tomato herb with mushroom sauce.
That's quite a selection.
Yes.
We had in the
grilled plantain. Octopus and tostones with shrimp ceviche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like fun. No, Saturday night. What are you doing Saturday, Stu?
Nothing. Right. Well, now I know where to find you.
That's right.
But no, when you talk about having like a small plate steak thing, there's an Asian restaurant, a sushi restaurant, Kashi, and they have a filet mignon appetizer, $20. It's a nice piece of filet, wasabi, mashed potatoes, and a couple of asparagus. And my girlfriend, that's her go-to.
Right.
But again, so you have some real light things, but then you have the skirt steak thing, which I think
we're
is going to be a big seller.
We didn't have it yet. That's just some of the things we're working on.
Sure, yeah.
Within next week or so, we're probably going to have it on the menu, but... Yes,
no,
because
that's...
we listen to customers, you know.
Sure, yeah. Well, I love people coming. You know what you should do here? Yeah, I know what I should do here.
Yes.
I should listen to you because you're so.
But we do listen for real, and
yeah.
So you know, some of the guys, you know, want a little more meat, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a steak girl too. So
potatoes and stuff like that. So we had in a couple of things.
So I have to ask you a strange question. Here at the radio station, there are a lot of the salespeople listen to to our show.
Uh-huh.
And they're always coming across restaurateurs, and they're always interested how you go about marketing and making people aware of the restaurant. And I'm just curious, your restaurant is fairly new. What did you do? What was the planning to get people to be familiar with the restaurant?
So I started posting on social media, Instagram, Facebook. We did have, we do have our business next door, the Bagel Store, 110 Bagel Market and Bistro. So I already have a big customer base there. I send out emails all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we haven't really done much marketing.
Okay. But now I'm intrigued. When you, it doesn't sound like it's the just normal bagel store. You just said marketplace and bistro. So even to take a moment just to elaborate on the other store.
Okay. So our bagel store is definitely not like a regular bagel store. We do hand-rolled bagels, number one. We have the dough hand-rolled. We bake it. We throw it in the
kettle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Our paninis are made to order. We don't have them sitting in a case for you to pick that one and
heat it up
in the microwave or whatever. We hand make our chicken salad. It's from roasted chickens that we roast ourselves in the back. So we're doing everything from scratch, homemade.
So I've been waiting for somebody to ask this to. So who was the genius that developed the bread product for sandwiches that had a hole in the middle? What is that all about?
I warned you. When he goes off the reservation.
I read a story that it was started in Europe back in, I don't even remember, like World War I?
What I'm thinking, and it might be a old wives' tale, but in the old days when their push carts were there and they probably had sticks, maybe like pretzels and bagels were on there. I don't know.
Sounds like a better story.
But I'm you know, I'm down in Florida and at the bagel store and we're talking and you know the guy orders tuna salad and it's falling through his bagel. And like,
right.
And then, well, that's why they invented the flagel. They flattened it out and stuffed up the hole.
I think it was some guy whose wife didn't want him eating some, you know, and he could see her through there. So take a bite and down a look.
And then there was the genius that says, what happens to all the bagel holes? You know, I don't see those for sale.
Yeah, well, although the donut holes are for sale, right?
That's right.
The Munchkins.
Yeah.
Well, actually, down in Florida, there was one place. It was called Brooklyn Bagels, and they swore that they brought the water down from Brooklyn.
Right. Oh, yeah, in the trunk. In the back of a pickup.
But they sold, like with six bagel munchkins, essentially, with a thing of cream cheese, and it was a cute idea.
Well, you could have a bagel slider, you know, just cut that thing in half and, you know, roast some pork for 12 hours and let it go.
That's it.
Yeah.
It just continues. There's just no end to ideas.
No, that's true.
Great thing about our bagel store is now you can have a glass of wine with your bagel.
Can you dunk? I mean, is it? All right, I just want to know.
No judgment.
Wait. This is really true?
Yes, this is true.
Well, you can have a glass of wine if you feel
so. You can go in for a nice lunch, have a glass of wine.
Or a cocktail.
Well, you have a European background, Bernardo, right? I mean, people drink wine in the morning in Italy, you know?
I drink one almost 12.
Yeah.
Before. You know, you drink a little wine and you don't go crazy. When you grow up with that, you don't.
Yeah, you don't go nuts.
Become an alcoholic.
It's not forbidden fruit then, you know? Yeah, it's something, you know.
With your grandpa, you know, and nonno.
Yeah.
So some pasta and you drink a little wine.
I'm always curious about
the
morning.
Yeah, I did the same with my daughter, you know? Yeah. My great-grandmother was from Austria, Switzerland, in Austria area there. And she used to give me schnapps when I was like 5. And, you know, to the horror of my mother, who was from Liverpool, you know what I mean?
Right.
Schnapps, what the hell are you doing, you know? I'm like, I don't know, it's pretty good, man. It tastes like peppermints.
Yeah. Yeah. It calmed you down.
But it did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you stay around grandpa and grandma like that.
That's right, yeah. I want to sleep over.
I'm always curious about breakfast outside of the United States. Like when you were growing up, Ronaldo, what was breakfast?
Well, Argentina, we don't really have, we eat more like bakery items on the weekends, like, you know, croissants or, you know, we call it facturas.
Yeah.
Little pastries. Pieces of heaven.
But
honestly.
Was it eggs
and stuff
No, that was weird to me when I came here.
Yeah.
Very weird. It took me a little while.
Yeah.
But, you know, we really are simple when it comes to breakfast. It's just bread, butter.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Dunk it on café con leche.
Yeah.
And let's go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a typical, you know, we also have dulce de leche. So we would do like bread, butter, and dulce de leche.
Sure.
When I used to go to Puerto Rico, they would press the French bread or whatever it was, and so butter and that and on a press and
right. So you
better.
Have that's it. That's basically it. And then on the weekends you'll go and you buy, you buy pastries and you have a little more factura, how we call
it.
And that was a little more like a weekend thing.
You know,
like here the pancake is usually the weekend thing.
Yes.
Eggs sandwich is more like every day. Something like that.
And then earlier you said, Tom, you might grab a piece of feta cheese.
Yeah, I'm a cheese and cracker guy in the morning. Right. If anything, I don't usually eat breakfast, but that's. But listen, this hour's flown by. I mean, we got to go. It's that time. So why don't you give us a synopsis here? Tell us where you're located, phone number, how to get a hold of you, when to come.
Okay, so we're located on Walt Whitman Road, 901-903, Citrus Wine Bar. You can find us on the web, citruswinebar.com.
What about Facebook and Instagram?
Facebook, Citrus Wine Bar, both of them.
Nice.
You can find us there, Facebook, Instagram.
Phone number?
631-223-4074.
Well,
And you can go to the website to get gift certificates
That's
for the
right.
holidays.
Yeah.
And we're going to organize
we also book parties.
Plan.
You know, we also book parties, too, you know, for
small parties. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Great stuff.
And hopefully we get this book signing put in the book at the restaurant.
Could you please relax over there?
I'm telling you, there's people that are looking for
my marketer. All right, listen, we're going to close the show with Tom's Three Keys to Life. Like usual, life is too short to drink bad wine. Treat every meal like it was your last and keep chocolate in your life as important as sex and pizza. And I will see you guys on Saturday.
All right.
All right. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.